When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Anybody who has teenage boys too knows that they lie, lie, lie. That's all they do. And you know how you know they're lying? Because their mouth is moving. They lie. But here's the thing. Sometimes you don't bust them with all of them. And sometimes their lies are so good that you're almost proud of them. You know what I mean? You're like, and don't do that again. That's my fucking boys, you know? My son's best, he ran a game on me. Ran a game on me. My wife and I, we went to Hawaii for vacation. And my parents came to stay with him. So when we come back, we get a DirecTV bill a month later. And there's $200 worth of porn charges. And we're looking at the bill, right? My wife and I, and I'm mad, right? The dude needs to be taught a lesson because porn is free. Like, how dumb do you have to be? I got porn in my pocket 24 hours a day. I'm worried about him as a human being if he's still paying for porn. That is the dumbest motherfucking shit I've ever heard of. I'm worried about him walking around in this world if he's still paying for porn. Like, how's he gonna do that?
Welcome to Cobras and Fire. My name is Baco, and I am joined by Denver, Colorado's leading voice actor, Elsie Fox. How are you this evening, Elsie?
I am excellent. Thank you for asking.
Nice. I like that.
Yes. Yes. So, So I dropped off the car at the body shop today, and I, you know, it was totally quiet in there as I dropped it off because it was like 8 in the morning.
Wait a second. Can I guess? Did someone hear your voice and go, were you the fucking scarecrow?
They didn't, but they go, hey, this lady comes out from the back, and I was hoping she was a lot hotter, but she just goes, do you do voiceover work?
Wow.
She's like, you just have that like radio voice. I'm like, yes, I do. And I was about to go into like, have you heard the Blizzard of Pod, by the way? But I decided to stop at that point.
And, here's my agent's number.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I'm like, actually, I do. I have this podcast. We talk about hard rock, and then she just turned around. She didn't know the decision. Yeah. And she was done at that point. As soon as you say hard rock,
I sort of tie in because it happened today. I don't know if you can see. I'm wearing a Kiss shirt. I don't often wear a Kiss t-shirt to work, but today I said, fuck it.
Right.
I opened the door, and a guy who basically takes our blades from our cutters and sharpens them is there, and he's like, hey, big Kiss fan I see. And it dawned on me that, oh, wait, I'm wearing a Kiss shirt. And I said, I guess I am. You? And he's like, no, not really. Like, he sounded like he wanted to talk Kiss, and I was a little concerned. And I'm like, just grab the blades and leave, you know? Nice guy, but anyway. I'm not surprised you. I'm actually more surprised you don't get that comment too often. You do have a good radio voice. And when I say radio voice, a resonating, clear tone, not the goofy voice guy. You actually do have a nice delivery, and I think it's other than your laugh, which seems to be divisive. It's about a 50-50 thing. I'm a fan, as you know, but but your actual voice is much smoother and cleaner than myself.
Yeah, I've heard that I would be a success if I didn't have the laugh and if I had better content. The delivery is great.
That sounds
though.
Like a shot at me because you steal all my stuff.
Oh, is that right? Yeah, it is. Well, 50%, just like Gene and Paul, right? Like you said, the check.
Yeah, you know. Yeah,
right. You donated a check. Technically, half of it came from the other guy.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. So all I'm getting at is that, like, if your material is the reason you're not successful, that means I'm the problem. Because it's all my shit anyway.
They said, well, they were just basing that off of Blizzard and of Pod.
Speaking of that, let's segue into that now. Everybody's had a chance to hear it. If you haven't, go check it out. Our Halloween episode 2022, The Cat's Out of the Bag, is a parody of Wizard of Odd called Blizzard of Pod. This, you know, the basic synopsis is I don't know, just it's a fucking parody, man. Go check it out. We had a lot of our friends join us. My question to you is then, did you enjoy all the cameos that I had lined up? I did not tell you, Gene, or Andy who they were. At a last second, I caved because I couldn't come up with what in my head was a convincible lie of like, no, I'm just going to do all these voices as I edit.
But that's what you said.
I know, but I started panicking like, God, that's a horrible lie. It makes no sense. But anyway, what did you think? We haven't talked since it came out. You've been a very busy man.
I have been. But with that said, I do have some concerns on the script, if I could share them with you. Yes?
Are these plot holes?
Well, first, it's called Blizzard of Pod, and we keep referencing a tornado. Why not having a blizzard? Why couldn't Andy shit his pants in a blizzard?
Believe it or not, I love that idea. I think in hindsight, it would have definitely helped you with the title, because you like things to make absolute perfect sense.
Listen,
but actually, I think the fact that we're in Minnesota.
Minnesota.
It would have been perfect.
Yeah, I mean, if the song title has some words in it, the words better be in the fucking song, man. That's all I'm saying. Like, I'm waiting for a blizzard last minute. I thought it was going to be an outtake.
I'm officially going to be George Lucasing the shit out of this thing. But let me hear the rest of your ideas because maybe you're onto something here.
No, that's it. I just want you to re-edit the whole thing and not make tornado song sounds.
Well, I could probably use the same sound effect and we just call it a blizzard, right?
Oh, yeah. For George Lucasing it, let's see. Well, can we just – that's actually the only thing I have. You know,
I actually – because I had to hear it so much, two things happened. One, I started getting real nitpicky about the delivery of certain lines that I heard 50 times. But the big thing is that, like, I caught some plot holes. And I'm like, oh, my God, that doesn't make any sense. If nobody's going to pay attention, of course. But, you know, when you're so invested in this thing and you're listening to it over, and they're like, oh, fuck, I forgot that I actually said that in 8 scenes ago. Now I get why it happens in movies.
No, I mean, I think it's like, oh, Jesus Christ. Hold on for a second. What is the name of the fucking movie that made that one guy famous with the goddamn it's like the most revered movie of all time, and it came out in like 1935. It's the, it has the
Human Centipede 2. I know what you're talking about.
God damn it! The fucking sled.
Yeah,
is like
and what the Rosebud's the name of the sled? Citizen Kane.
You know, you remind me
we
of...
We can't cut that out now, so
Oh, so we're just going to keep going? We're going to have that long pause?
Yeah, you said Citizen Kane,
Yeah. You know, you remind me of a young, what is that, Orson Welles?
I'm a young Orson Welles. I'm fucking taking that, man.
Okay, like that, like right out the gate, you steal somebody else's work, you make a parody of it. You're like the Orson Welles version of Weird Al Yankovic. You know, you're making a parody of something that already exists. What do you think of that?
That's actually pretty good. I don't think there is a strong continuity between the two stories, though, other than the characters and a brick road. Things are very different.
There's definitely not a Waffle House in the original.
Well, that's what I'm getting at.
There wasn't as many midgets. There's this mini kiss. But in all seriousness, though, if we could pull back the curtain a little bit, I do want to say, can I give you my opinion on how – can we reveal how this was kind of like given to us that morning?
Yeah. Let me check here real quick. One second. Yes, that will be allowed. Yes, yeah.
Okay, great. So these scripts were delivered. Did you just give it to them fresh that morning?
Yeah, they got
at your house?
They all got there. You know, but just truth be told, that's how Andy got it the first time. He never saw it, and Gene got it because he recorded it at his home. But Gene and Andy recorded it at my house this time, so I just handed them to him. You got yours in the mail.
Right, but nobody saw it until that morning, correct?
Yeah, now, unlike last year, that was actually planned this time. You would not know what the story was going to be. The only thing I told you guys, and maybe if I'm stepping on you, let me know, was that you were going to be it was going to be a parody, and you were going to play in characters, but as yourself, someone self aware that they are now this character. That's all I told you guys.
That's it. So I would just, my only creative input is that I would have liked to have actually opened it a week or at least a day prior, because what we did that morning, just so everybody knows, is essentially what's called a table read. Mm-hmm. Like if you just go in there and you're like, just here's a script, we're going through this the first time, because I would have liked to inhabit the shithead character that I was to deliver my lines a little better in retrospect. That's it.
I wasn't calling you out when I made that line, because I had the luxury of redoing about three of my lines, because I'm like, I just, that's not the delivery. But you're trying to direct also to perform and pay attention to things. But I think the funnest part was trying to get Andy mad. And I'm going to tell the listener this, and you can confirm this. If there is one thing that Andy Schall is not comfortable with, the most unnatural thing for him to be is angry.
Yeah.
Even pretending. And you hear some of that in the outtakes, but trust me, that was the longest edit chunk as far as time. Cutting up, trying to find, because I think it took us about 10 minutes to just get those three lines.
You know what I thought, though, when you kept giving him stage...
Burns! Lick your balls!
When you were giving Andy stage direction, I thought, is this possibly going to be the first? Because for Andy, I think that at some point, he's going to be pushed over the edge, where he finally snaps.
And then
goes nuts. And I was like, okay, he is such a nice guy. A genuine person that I was like, is Baco? Because you were hitting so again. I was like, at some point, am I going to see him just start chopping you and Gene up into little pieces, like actually see online? This, because that's the thing. I think that's the kind of Andy's the kind of guy that he's perfect until somebody just pushes him too far.
What
do you think?
Yeah, he definitely gives up because he's so fucking nice, and we've seen so many of those psycho characters played in like a horror kind of movie or a thriller. Yeah. I think you kind of might get led in that direction, but I think what we found out that day is that there's almost no chance of that happening.
No.
Because he was pushed to the edge there a little bit, and he was smiling every fucking minute. So with that said, I would like to say thank you to you, Andy, Gene Vogel, and all the people that helped out and helped keep it a secret, too. I tried to tell all and the best thing is that they all got a little bit of the script ahead of time, but they only got what they read, so they didn't get to hear like the whole story. So like when I'm recording with Matt Porter, he's only doing that scene, and then Matt didn't care for the audio quality because he had to record at home, And it, at the last minute. And he said, he offered to do it again and said, go for it. And he went into the studio without me kind of reading back and forth with him. And that's what you hear is just him reading those lines. So, you know, a lot of that stuff, I think it'd be fun to try to get some of the people that, were contributed in and do like an episode where we actually break this one down, because there was a lot of moving parts. And I think people might enjoy kind of hearing how the sausage was made on that one with all these people. So we'll figure something out on that down the line. The reason I'm stopping there is that I just... If that happens, I'd like to save a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff for that. So thank you to everybody. Everybody did a great job. I really appreciated it. The edit was a lot of fun, and it was just hilarious to kind of listen back. I've been very happy with the feedback. I'm glad people like it. Please, if you did like it, click like, give us a rating. Do that with all of our episodes. Share this motherfucker, man. If you could just give us a rating, it actually does help out the show on each episode, whatever you want to do. It's an easy and free way to help out us and continue to make the kind of this kind of, the show, man, basically.
You know what I'm going to throw out there right now, and I haven't even discussed this with you, but I'm going to tell the people, this will be a push and pull, but next year's will be an original screenplay by both of us. We are going to work together on something.
Yeah, there's zero chance that's happening.
Okay, fine.
Why don't I just turn the whole project over to you?
Oh no! All I want is me to be allowed to name it and then get equal co-writing.
All right, what's next? Yeah,
then you go into some song about love.
That works. I like that idea.
Day where I can feel again. I'm taking all the chances that I can now. Look at what I have become. Too scared to lose control. I'm making all the choices that I need to. It's the moment of my life. This is the moment of my life. No second chances, no goodbyes. I feel alive. Now I'll fly far so I can see. And now I'll run miles till I can breathe. Cause it's the best moment of my life. It's the best.
An update, as because we are respected rock journalists and we like to keep the listeners up on all the good stuff that we do here.
Yes.
So the rumor was last time we recorded that John 5 was going to be replacing Mick Mars, who they didn't really give a reason. We all assume it's just because he's old and doesn't want to go out and tour anymore, which would be understandable because, I think around the same time Motley was like, yeah, fucking 2023 and 2024. We got tours around the world.
He's like, son of a bitch.
And he's like, you guys.
Go on without
So that was the assumption. That's kind of been cleared up now. Mick retired the night before we are recording this. And a couple hours before we started tonight, it was announced basically that John 5 is going to be replacing him. And Motley Crue had their own little, we love you, Mick, kind of post. As a matter of fact, I have it right in front of me if you'd like me to read it.
Please do.
All right. While change is never easy, we accept Mick's decision to retire from the band due to his challenges with his health. We have watched Mick manage his, let's just call it, bonitis for decades. It's just a hard word to pronounce, people.
My only regret is that I have bonitis.
For decades, and he has always managed it with the utmost courage and grace. To say enough is enough is the ultimate act of courage. I think Tommy wrote this. Mick's sound helped define Motley Crue. From the minute he plugged in his guitar at a very first rehearsal, the rest, they say, is history. We'll continue to honor his musical legacy. Here's my favorite part. We will carry out Mick's wish.
My only regret is that I have bonitis.
And continue to tour the world as planned in 2023. And John 5 chimed in, they threw in a quote from him. I'm honored to carry on Mick's legacy and looking forward to playing these songs. So now we know it's official. I have a little more thoughts on John 5 as a guitar player. Before I get into that, I'm going to kind of kick it to you. My first question for you is that, like, the stories I saw, it made very clear that Mick was retiring only from touring. To my response to that is, what else is there? I don't know. This doesn't really help clarify that. It was kind of like when Peter Criss retired from playing live after 10 years of not playing live.
Right.
You know, I don't know what Motley Crue could do. Maybe he's just saying, I'm retaining ownership, so when you buy a T-shirt, I still get my 25%.
Goddamn right.
Which he absolutely should. That would not be kicking him. But anyway, take it from wherever you want. I threw a lot of vomit out there for you.
Well, thank you. Yeah, first off, I just want to say that I really enjoy your use of the word bonitis.
from the TV show Futurama, one of my favorite episodes.
Bone-itis, which Tommy refers to as rad bone fusing, I believe.
Nice, yes.
But yeah, man, I mean, listen.
It's also known as being old as shit. You know,
sure.
I'm wearing a copper fit sleeve on my knee right now, Mick. I'm half your age.
Yeah. Listen,
things aren't going.
Here's where I think that Mick Mars's world has been the last 7 years. Okay, 2015, fucking Vince croaks his last syllable on stage and passes out in the back room, you know, and everything like that. And Mick is like, "Hell's yeah, painkillers and not going on tour. We're officially retired." I don't think any of this resurgence of like, hey, listen, you're still in the band, man, right? Right, bro? Hey, bro, you ready to go on the road, bro? Like, do you think that I don't think that he wanted to go back out. I don't think you say that he looks forward to it. I think at this point he's like, it is painful. It's all this. Just the fact that
I'm just happy you actually listened to me there for a second.
That is true. I listen to the edit sometimes.
Okay. That was your edit.
Oh, that's true. That's why I listen to it. Right. Good point. Yeah, I had to. Oh, yeah. Touche. Anyway, so touche didn't work there. So anyway.
Kind of did.
So I think that this is him finally saying, you know what? Enough's enough. I'm done. And here's the thing that's interesting about this. John 5.
Enough's Enough, new album drops November 11th.
I'm sorry, what?
Enough's Enough, new album dropping in November 11th.
You're just mentioning that. I don't see how that
you
connects.
Said Enough's Enough.
Oh.
And sorry. It gives me an opportunity to drop in a Camaro live.
Okay, perfect.
Carry on. I interrupted you.
Okay. And I mean, I guess the fact that John 5 is so talented that he can mimic everything the way it needs to be, and he's a known name, and it's not like you're just having this random person that's in there. So I guess it makes sense that way for PR. But if I'm John 5, how long does this contract last? How boring is that kind of? Is it really exciting for me? Is he really going to do that? I mean, it's interesting. Here's the thing. I think it's neutral, kind of like I said that last time. It doesn't make me want to go anymore. And I don't think as a fan, I don't think it would make me want to go any less to the average fan. So it actually, business-wise, I guess it makes sense.
Yeah. I can explain it from his angle because, you know, we're talking basically a summer tour a few months out of the year, playing songs that he could probably learn in about 12 minutes.
Yeah.
He really is, you know, one of the most talented guitar players on the planet. And then you have all these things in your life that mean something to you. You know what I mean? It's like me. I go to work at a print shop so I can sit here and talk to you. I can afford this luxurious basement that I'm in. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And so that's what John 5 is doing here. He's taking the money. Doing a cash cow tour, you know, because he's not going to be like the guys in Motley or maybe even the Def Leppard guys. I believe it's the same package there as far as the co-headliners, mm-hmm. Where there's a chance that they might lose something. Most of their money is probably guaranteed as far as promotion, but the upside there. But he's a contracted employee. But that has to be a big enough payday where he goes, well, fuck, this is going to make it a lot easier for me to do all these other things when I want to do them. So that I think that's where it comes in.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm sure it is genuine that he was a fan growing up. He gets to play in a band that, you know, that
anybody who's a musician, though,
right.
and fucking listens to Vince Neil sing and thinks,
there you go.
I want to be in that band.
Understood.
Yeah, not a chance. No, but oh, I'm sorry. There's 6 zeros on this check. I would love to join this band.
Yes, right. I get that. That's just going to be a weird thing. To be going from an outsider coming in and being like, okay, this is the shit version of the what I grew up loving too. If he was a fan,
and they're not going to be creating any new music that you wouldn't think anyway.
No,
I have a couple recommendations on who could have been better than John 5. Now that we're kind of had a little time to marinate on it. If I was in Motley Crue, I would say hell no. Even though I think musically and even visually is a good fit. Because you know what? I think John 5 is not going to be fun to look at. I think he plays the guitar way too close to his tits for a nice fucking 80s metal band. You know, as great as he is, that just doesn't look cool. With Rob Zombie, you can kind of hide it with the lights in the show and stuff. But no, Tracy Guns would be the fucking perfect fit for what they're doing. But I'm not fucking dropping that kind of money on a guy who's canceled 2 shows in the last summer because it was hot. He played a show, not canceled. Canceled one, played one in a bathroom.
I would go for that. If I knew Trace, now that is a kicker. I would go to the show just to see if some kind of terrible thing would happen.
Well, you and I would,
Tracy.
Vince or Nikki, I'm like, no. This is real money, man. You know, we can't have this guy. The other one would be the obvious, and I'm kind of curious why, especially because they picked the guy like John 5, that dude from 6 a.m., DJ Ashba.
Oof, too much of a – that's true. He was part of the camp. I think that it's a PR reason that people know he's too douchey. I fucking can't stand that guy. I don't care how talented he is.
You know what? Listen to my interview with John 5. That's all I'm going to say there.
Okay. I don't remember him throwing shade at him.
Let's just say he did his best to basically get through 28 minutes of talking to Baco without like just being outright kind of like yeah.
Oh, you're saying you didn't like your interview? I thought he was nice.
He was very nice. Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, almost I'm just saying. I will tell you that John 5's on stage persona is less douchey than 6 a.m.'s.
Oh, you know what? Actually, DJ Ashba does nothing to irritate me as a player
really?
When he's on stage.
Okay. Okay.
I think if anything, I think John 5's makeup is sillier than DJ. Because DJ likes to lay on the guy liner, you know? Mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he's not a douche. But I'm like, you know what? You know this guy. He's kind of that type of player. Where he can kind of just meld and fit and do anything like a John 5 can. But I do think Tracy Guns would sound-wise be the perfect guy.
You know, what can I – is that your – because I have one other one that
yeah, what do you got?
Perfect.
That's all I had there.
So the one that I thought would be just slide in there and make things go smooth would have been Wes Borland of of Limp Bizkit with a contract that said half the songs have to be Limp Bizkit too. You know, like same kind of crowd and intelligence level and everything like that and everything like that and break stuff. And it's easier in Vince's register to do some Fred Durst and everything. Plus, he's got the makeup. Come on.
This is why you and I can't creatively write a script together. If I'm going to make a joke, I'm going to go with something more like Billy Joe Armstrong from Green Day. I don't know, because it's ridiculous. The hot meme going around is John Mayer.
Or how about that guy from Primus, just the bassist, just an extra bassist.
You need you know what? It would be refreshing to see Motley Crue where the bass player was actually playing.
Yeah. Come on.
No. You missed my joke there.
Oh, I know. I got it. I just didn't laugh.
No, you didn't get it.
You said that would be refreshing if they had a bass player that was actually playing.
Yeah.
That's what you said.
Yeah, you processed it after the fact.
I didn't process it. I heard it live.
Yeah, that was not the joke.
I can play fake bass while listening.
The joke.
I've said this over and over again to all everybody I know. I can play fake bass while still listening to you.
Fair enough. My bad. I feel bad now. I didn't realize you were that ambidextrous. All right. Well, hey, real quick, you know what? Looks like you're having a beer, too. We haven't done an evening recording in quite some time. Should we share with the listeners what we're drinking?
Yes. Well, do you want to shock anybody? Go ahead. Yours first.
Oh, you want to do it that way. Okay. Yes. I'm drinking a beer called Before I Die. Ooh. And it is a
Surly.
Yeah, nice. Surly, a local brewer.
Craft lager.
And this is a catchphrase of a Vikings podcast. And it's about the Vikings winning the Super Bowl. Anyway, Gene brought a four-pack over. We watched the first game of the season together, and I've enjoyed it. And they've won every game that I've had a can watching it. I know where you're going with your hot take there. I will be switching to Coors Light once this glass is empty, but I'm opening up with the old Surly. I do enjoy it. It's actually very tasty.
Nice. I'm proud of you. I think that if you found yourself a craft pilsner, you might enjoy it. Or you don't think so?
There's a couple. Only. Yeah. Whatever. Carry on.
Whatever.
What do you got there, Elsie?
I got this specifically because I knew we were recording tonight. I figured you'd like the name.
Throwing Haze. Nice. So we're both local. That's Denver Beer Company.
Yep.
Oh, but it is a hot IPA. Boy, can you... Hold up. Like, do you have any left in the glass? It looked like you might have been running low. I wonder just like, oh, well, I can see through glass now. But
yeah.
Anyway. Well, it's a purple can, so I'll take it as a win for the Vikes, too.
There you go. Perfect. I'm going to get another one.
Mob is back, LC. You might have heard that on the light version of our show, New Noise, over there at Decibel Geek. And yes, Chris, that is the last cheap shot I'm going to give you on that. thank you for playing along.
Cobras and Fire Light.
And as Aaron Camaro correctly pointed out during the roast, or at least he challenged me a little bit, like, we did not invent talking about rock news.
We did not invent talking about the news, no.
Anyway, Lynch Mob is back. This actually resonates with me because anybody that listened to my last interview with George Lynch, which is also going to be my last interview with George Lynch, he was actually a little shitty with me because it was news at the time. And I asked him about it. He's like, would you like to talk about, you're dropping the name Lynch Mob.
The Lynch Mob opening for Dokken Tour was canceled because of COVID. You've since decided to stop using the Lynch Mob name, if I got that right. But are you still going to do some sort of tour with Dokken at some point?
Yeah. We've got a show coming up together in June. I don't know what I'm calling the band yet, but.
Yeah, and for anybody that doesn't know, you want to elaborate on what your reasoning for basically dumping the name?
Oh, very obvious, right?
And that was the answer I got.
Yeah, I remember that because right after that, I heard the laundry going.
Yeah. No, that was the episode, the interview before. Right after that, he started like rehearsing the solo for Breaking the Chains.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I forgot it was the noodling. That was the episode.
So
a lot of stuff going on.
So apparently he decided that nobody gave about him or his career as it was. So why not have this name that may be offensive because no one cares.
Yeah, it's more surprising to me that I held on to it for as long as I did, considering, you know, kind of my worldview and belief system. I just kind of looked the other way and rationalized it. But then as things have heated up to the point that they have now, you know, which is the wrong reason to, I mean, it's never the wrong reason to do the right thing, but
I follow you.
Conflicted, you know, I mean, I get it. Okay. It is my name and all that, but that's no excuse.
That's the whole world. It's an overcorrection, whatever. Who the fuck
cares?
It's a
pun based on his name. And if he didn't get that, you know, I never really understood it, but look, but at the same time,
but now it's back.
I'm giving him more crap for it being back than getting rid of it. If he wanted to get rid of it and he felt compelled to do so because of some personal conviction, good for you. That is how a grown-up handles this stuff. Bringing it back with this lazy excuse that he threw out there after fucking also being kind of a chastising dick to me about it.
Right.
It's like, you know, it's like, well, you know, well, fuck you. You know what I mean? It's just like you had one good record and a bunch of pretty mediocre music, basically, ever since. And that's not just Lynch Mob, it's almost anything he's done. So
right, no, that's it's quite silly. Just he should have just kept it the entire time. Bringing it back looks silly.
Yeah,
don't you agree?
Especially when he literally, look, he explains it and fleshes it out more, but what when you read it, what he's saying is that, like, no one knew who Lynch Mob was when I changed the name except for this small group of people who don't care, and they were upset that I changed it, so I changed it back. It's like, well, if they care that much, do they care that you basically never have the same guys in the band anyway? You know, it's, whatever. It's just call yourself George Lynch. It would make more sense. And play whatever you want.
See, I'm super confused because does that mean that when he's touring, he's now playing Lynch Mob songs only under that, or is he playing all?
When he tours with Lynch Mob, he'll throw a Dokken song in there.
Sure.
But you know, I'm not sure. Again, it's almost a difference without distinction. That's why it seems to make more sense to just go be Lynch Mob or George Lynch, I should say.
It must be interesting being somebody like George Lynch that has that talent, that cannot really harness it into one project. And I don't mean that as a joke. I mean it is like I'm guessing that Lynch Mob went, I don't think it went platinum.
And no,
maybe
no,
maybe
no
went
way.
Fucking gold. If
no,
did it go gold the first album?
So. Not, no.
I remember having it and like I never had the second one. And like but each
I'm over here mocking him. I think I own three of their six records.
Okay. Anyway. And they had the rap rock version of it at some point and all that. But like, how many, if you want to put a number on it right now, if you want to do an over and under from Lynch Mob forward, how many albums, projects, whatever you want to call them, bands has he had since, I think Lynch Mob came out in 91, 92.
Yeah, it was 90 to 92, somewhere in there. I think it was sooner than 92 though, but. Let's say 90. It's 32 years.
Yeah, 32 years. How many albums / projects has he had that is George Lynch led?
If it's 32 years, that's 64 records.
I think that's too many.
No, I would say some in the neighborhood of 20 to 30. Yeah. I mean, what do you got?
Give me a number.
You got a couple.
I'll look it up later.
About this? 18, at least. Not counting Lynch Mob. I think you throw the Lynch Mob stuff on top of that. He's had a couple solo records. He's had that. I don't know.
No. I'm
Shadow
saying including
Life.
Lynch Mob. How many things?
22. I'm going to go with a solid 22. We'll confirm in the next episode.
Okay. Well, mine is that actually was going to be my number, so we'll just say we'll find out if we're right or wrong. That was actually the number I was going to put out. But it is amazing, though. Think about that. Just like this barf. I mean, we're both creative people. Depending on the quality that comes out, that's your opinion. But the whole thing is we create, and the and it. But my whole thing about that is, could you live like that? I just think it's an interesting psychoanalysis where you can just like just keep basically shitting out stuff. And then fucking as soon as it's out, it's almost like you're done with it. It's not even your child anymore. Like, fuck you. Like, he basically had 22 orphans out and just put out into the world.
Yeah, because he doesn't tour on any of these projects other than Lynch Mob and occasionally jumping up on stage with Dokken. But, yeah, you, it's a solid point. For me, I'm always thinking of, like, who keeps giving you money? Yeah, like you know what? We need a George Lynch with this Australian singer.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just do that, and then I'll pay for it. Because, you know, otherwise, like, what? I don't know. Hey.
Well, that's all I'm just trying to think about. Like, is that satisfying? Is it satisfying? Or is it almost like it almost seems like him putting out albums is like taking a huge creative dump and then getting out of your system. Yeah. And now I'm going to go on to the next thing because I love the creation, but I give a fuck about pushing it forward. Like, once it's done, it's done.
Well, a lot of artists don't really get into the commerce end of stuff, and they struggle at that. For me, I always felt that George is more of a, like a schizophrenic robot. He just, this is all I do, you know, play these
this
these
is what
notes.
I'm programmed to do. I must put out an album every 7.5 months. Okay.
Hey, I did have a thought on the Motley Crue thing I wanted to touch on. You mind if I circle back to that?
Please.
There is a singer and songwriter who, or singer and guitar player, who can still sing. So we can, because I think that's the big thing. What are we going to do with Vince? Mm-hmm. And he knows how to play guitar. And bonus, he used to be in Motley Crue. Why not pull in John Corabi back, go as a power trio? Boom. Problem solved. I just saved Motley Crue 25% of their revenue salary.
Man, I almost think it should be that all concerts are promoted with Vince Neil's face, but when you get there, it's Corabi, but you're not disappointed. It's like the Cole Kiss thing.
Only
when they
for
had
the one song, yeah. And then, like, by the end of the first song, you're like, oh, this is actually a lot better.
No, I'm saying that he's playing all their hits, like, with his voice, because he had,
Right, but you might be disappointed when you show up, because I love Vince, go! And then, like, you see this guy who's not Vince. But right. Then by the end of the song, you're like, oh, this is all right. Speaking of singers, a Great White, once again, I mean, this is almost like an annual thing now. They have a new singer. Have you heard this?
I've heard that, you know, take it from here. All I know is it's a young man who can sound like Jack Russell, but I have not seen the video. So it sounds like you've actually checked out some of this.
Only the headlines in the news story. Mark Kendall's wife and I are friends on Facebook. She shared a video of the singer supposedly filling in for one show, but she was heaping so much praise on this guy who was supposedly just covering for the normal singer because he had a prior commitment or something like that. That it kind of got you going, yeah, within a week. Brandi Carlile. Brandi Carlile, yes, famous country female singer is the... Oh, hold on.
What?
Turns out I have that wrong. It is not Brandi Carlile, known country singer, fronting Great White. It's a guy named Brett Carlile.
Okay.
Brett Carlile, yes. Stealing a joke out of the LC Fox playbook there.
I like it.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it because, you know, it was bad.
Yeah. It was pretty bad. I've never heard of this guy, but I didn't think the guy they had, Andrew Freeman, who I think... Was he in Lynch Mob? Oh, God.
I think in Lynch Mob, you only can have three letters in your first name.
I'm not sure I get that joke.
Oni, isn't his name?
Oh, Oni. Well, yeah, Oni has been in and out. Yeah.
They've,
Lynch Mob has had about 72 singers. So.
Just know I have a lot of jokes involving number of letters and names.
that's one of the reasons I keep going back to the well with you on this stuff. yeah, Brett Carlile apparently is he does not have the teeth. Yeah, I haven't heard much from Mitch Malloy now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, he's still like trying to recoup his investment in those videos for the Van Halen Experience.
Hmm. Now, in an actual fun event that kind of recently here, Jack Russell and Terry, I have no idea how to pronounce this guy's name. I think it's Elu, the guy who originally replaced Jack Russell in Great White. Mm-hmm. They did a storytellers show together, and I'm like, oh, storytellers, huh? Mm-hmm. It, kind of imply like an acoustic kind of storytellers thing where I never got to see any footage of it, but I'm guessing, I would hope anyway that if I paid for a ticket to see that I'd hear some fucking smack, man. I want to hear some fucking Mark Kendall bullshit, man.
That's right.
Audie Debro, he's a fucking pile of shit.
Great White Storytellers. It's also called What You Read to Go to Sleep.
Hmm. I wonder if Mitch Malloy priced himself out of that show. Like, that'd be Jack Russell, Terry Lou, and Mitch Malloy.
All three of those guys were almost in Van Halen.
All of them, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Who would you rather see front in Van Halen out of those three?
Give me my choices again.
It's our boy Mitch, Terry Alou, and Jack Russell. Now, keep in mind, it has to be them currently. Not in their heyday.
Wow.
That really only penalizes one guy out of those three, by the way.
I think I would like to see just Jack Russell, just because it would be quite funny, you know? He would be in good voice, and nothing would make sense.
He's my favorite singer of those three.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like he would get up there and just, you would, I mean, think of Running with the Devil with Jack Russell.
Not,
he'd add some
not
soul
running,
to it,
not
slow
running.
It down. It wouldn't be running. It would be yogging with the juggle.
Yeah.
Yogging with the devil. I'll redo that. I think speed walking with the devil.
Ooh, there we go. That you definitely turned me on to, LC, as one of the better metal acts out right now is Five Finger Punching Bag.
No, it's Five Finger Durst Punch.
Five Finger Donkey Punch?
Durst Punch.
Mm, okay.
Or Donkey Punch, whatever.
All right. Yeah. Anyway, Ivan Moody, who is, boy, he's a colorful character. I love the video of him where he basically, shares with the fans what a day in his life is like. And
all right, what's up, everybody? This is Ivan Moody from Five Finger Death Punch. You're at my house. Case just came over, and he's going to start getting my ass back in shape for the upcoming tours. So first things first, this is my pool. Every morning I wake up, I do my laps, and we'll go from there, right?
That is correct.
Do it.
Give me some quick laps, dude, over the shoulder. Give me 10. A lot of people don't realize that, with the type of singer he is, it takes a lot of lung power to do what he does.
He goes to work out UFC, but doesn't actually do anything but watch two guys fight. And then has a steak dinner, smokes a cigar, and then ends the whole thing with saying,
"And like I said earlier, I think after this, I'm going to go home, rewatch the UFC fights, and eat a steak."
That's my favorite line of the whole thing. You're going to actually go rewatch a UFC fight. Mm. In other words, he's just so addicted, he just wants to watch it over and over again. But Ivan Moody, singer of Five Finger Death Punch, he retired from heavy metal, or he's going to retire from heavy metal after one more album and one more tour with Five Finger Death Punch. That was the announcement he made on stage with his kids next to him. Now, my first reaction was like, I'm sorry, is heavy metal like some restaurant that he's working at? To me, heavy metal is kind of a term to describe a music genre. It's not like a time clock. You know what I mean?
No.
How does one actually retire from an entity, I guess?
I'm not sure, but I did notice when this video was made that it was made in Ball Arena, which is right down the street from me, basically, in Colorado. And
it's called Ball?
Yeah. Do you know those fucking jars that are like the ones that you see sometimes that are like in hipster places where you have lemonade in them and they're like the old ones that you would like also use? Their
when
glass
you say
jars.
Lemonade, you mean piss, right?
No.
Oh. Ball. Okay. Yeah. The canning jars. Jars.
Yes. So I'm not sure all the things that they make, but I'm not fucking kidding you. They own a goddamn or whatever it is. They've had the same arena. Name in the arena. Okay. Yeah. But it sounds funny. Ball Arena.
Yeah.
And so during this, we should mention too that when he is doing this whole retirement speech, he's on stage with his, I'm going to say, teenager, whatever, his kids.
Yeah, for young enough.
Daughter.
The last 15 years of my life, I have toured the world. I have seen every country, every city on this planet at least twice. That's a fact. And through that time, as many of you parents know, hard workers, I have missed a lot of time with my kiddos. So I made them a deal today, and I'm going to stick to it. After this year, I'm going to make one more Five Finger Death Punch album, and then I am retiring from heavy metal.
Young enough. He's got two younger kids on stage.
And by the way, there's nothing wrong with that. Little dad moment.
Nope, little dad moment saying, I'm retiring. I'm, basically implying I'm going to spend more time with you guys, which the first thing I'm thinking of is, does he fucking live in Colorado or does his kids tour with him wherever he goes? Because
I found out recently, and I'll touch on this, but different moms. So that I only mentioned that because it complicates where you're going with this a little bit.
Okay. So either they're touring with him or they just happen to go with him at this tour stop.
Yeah, I'm guessing the fact that he can't tour with them. So it was during the school year. Yeah, maybe they are in Denver.
Right.
Maybe he just knocks up Denver broads.
It is hot place.
He lives in Vegas.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Just come. It's not that far away. It just comes in.
Yeah.
But literally, either way.
Literally comes in.
So he makes this heartfelt, I'm going to be done. And like, think, the joke is that we're like, thank God. You know what I mean? Like, they put out the same album for the last five, six times.
Well, guys, like you and me are like,
Thank you. Spend time, all this stuff like that, you know. But then, as usual, what happens next, Baco?
He apologizes for retiring and didn't mean it.
By the way, when I watched that video, didn't look fucked up. Looked perfectly sober. It looked like a legit thing. I was like, all right, well, you know, the guys.
I agree. I thought he meant it, and actually, I thought it would actually happen, and then he would undo it like a proper band, like Motley Crue, like a week after you announce it, you know. I think it's because apparently the band had no idea. And they're like, they found out the same way you and I did.
Like, son of a bitch, your paycheck is over.
What? What the fuck is this all about? But
here's the reason I was excited about it, Baco, was that for since 2010 onward, basically, Five Finger But Death Punch has been one of the headline acts at every fucking fest out there. I was like, thank God there's room for maybe somebody else.
Well, if you think about it, though, I mean, it's still going to be a while, even if he did hold up, because one more album and one more tour cycle is probably 4 to 5 more years of festivals. But and by then, the kids are probably 28. There's some Minnesota math for you.
You go.
One thing, I things have changed a lot with the music. Now, if this was like the 80s or 90s, where basically if you were married to somebody in a band, like, you know, that was one of the top bands, you know, that were, it was tour, album, tour, album, tour, album. Things really aren't like that. You don't do an album every year like you used to. You don't go on these 2.5-year tours like Metallica did, like, say, in 91 for the Black Album. Mm-hmm. You do on, like, 6-week blasts at most. I think typically tours are now less than 2 months. And then you don't see that band on tour again for a while, and they're not creating all this stuff. My point being is that I think the same thing when I hear, like, Tom Brady's wife, she deserves to be able to focus on her career, and it's time for him to sit at home. And I'm like, my God, first of all, you're a model. If you're a high-end model, you work, what, maybe 12 days a year?
Yeah.
And then Tom Brady has 7 months off every year. 6 if he goes to the Super Bowl. But people actually are out there, like, working 40-hour weeks that see their kids less than these people could. I don't know how much time they're spending with them, but it's not like sudden, like, you have means, you have money, you can do things that other people can't do. And you get to, like, you can take a 5-week vacation with your kids. Can you do that, Elsie?
Nope.
That's what I'm getting at. Let's stop fucking pretending that this is just a great parenting move. I'm sorry. That's my rant. I don't give a fuck about Tom or Giselle or any millionaire that I don't know personally, which is all of them, on how they handle their time away or time with their family. I don't care. I really don't care. But football has one of the shortest seasons of all professional sports. Idea that, like, well, I had to put my modeling career on hold. No, you didn't. And I don't think you did. And why do people care? Just shut the fuck up. Root for your fucking football team. Jerk off to pictures of her in a magazine. And move the fuck on like a normal person. Stop being such a fucking psycho.
Social disease.
I'm still pissed that my headline, that I wasn't picked up for a headline in the last episode.
It's a ridiculous, man. It is ridiculous.
So he's back. So that's the retirement and unretirement of Five Finger Death Punch. What else we got?
And a fun side note to that, a drunk driver at a Utah show where you were recently, as I called it, the Southwest, the Wisconsin of the Southwest. a drunk driver ran into a pole and basically spared everybody at a Five Finger Death Punch show of seeing the rest of the show.
Mm. So okay. All right. So a little death joke there.
Nobody died.
Oh, okay. That's good.
He was drunk. He didn't kill anybody. He killed the power.
Thank God.
Okay. As they would say in Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park, kill the power, Phil. Kill the power.
Rip and destroy.
Yes, exactly. All so, right. Yeah. He ripped and destroyed Five Finger Death Punch show. And
awesome.
Anyway.
Yeah.
And the weird thing is that, like, the guitar player said, one more reason not to drive drunk. And I'm like, this might be the first time that there's ever been, like, a PSA that would encourage driving drunk.
It's just like, this is your brain. This is your brain. This is your brain on drugs.
This is your brain on drugs driving into a pool, knocking out the lights.
Yeah, but the whole time that commercial is going on, you just hear like one of their fucking songs blaring, and then it just cuts out, and they're like, "Ah."
And the guy in the car is like, all cut up, head into the steering wheel, and he's like, "That's better."
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, how did whatever? And then I told a guy at work. Huge Blink 182 fan, and I told him that after we had recorded that episode, and he had known me for years, and he just assumed. He's like, no, I had not. I'm not the biggest Blink fan. I don't hate him, but I only own Enema of the State.
I know what you're saying. That there is the only album I have is the one that has the porn star on the cover of it.
That's Enema of the State. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, what's it? Janine.
Janine. Yeah. Yeah. She never did any. She was just girl on girl for quite a long time.
Yeah, Vince Neil, though, he had a sex tape with her.
Mm-hmm, exactly. He broke her. After that point, she was all downhill from there.
Yeah, and if you've seen her lately, her and Jenna Jameson have had a pretty rough decade.
Yes, I would say so. A lot of tats.
Yeah, and well, let's just leave it at
that. What's the guy? You can leave this out of the show, but what's the guy? Jesse James or something like that? Or what's the guy?
Oh my God.
The biker? What's
Jesse
his fucking
James.
Name?
You've never seen my video where I do a Jesse James routine?
I'm Jesse James.
I think I have, but I'm saying like Jesse.
I'm Jesse James.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, he dated one of them, right? Yeah,
Janine. He ruined her.
Okay. Yeah, because a UFC fighter beat up Jenna.
Mm.
I think at UFC, maybe it was a boxer. I don't know.
Beat her up?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It never ends well. Porn never starts and ends well, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Not a career for your daughters out there.
No.
But yeah, the reunion, of course, while it definitely it got people like Eric Miller excited. Once tickets went on sale, the whole dynamic pricing thing suddenly reared its ugly head again. It is unreal, to the point that my boy I mentioned at work, he is not planning on going unless, like, I told him, I said, just wait till the end, you know, like a few, like the thing that you've talked about before, how you got your GNR tickets, just wait till a couple days before the show. Right. You might get good tickets for a pretty good price. But anyway, I read an article that actually tied something together that I hadn't really thought of. You remember during the pandemic, one of the things that I thought would be the best possible outcome would be that Ticketmaster and Live Nation basically go bankrupt.
Nope.
And go out. Yeah, of course they didn't, and it was wishful thinking. But really, this dynamic pricing thing has been one of their ways to kind of pull themselves out of that quagmire. And by quagmire, I mean like not being able to fuck people over to the extent that they could have survived without doing this.
Sure.
Is what I mean. But yeah, they claim it's to stop scalping, and because basically it forces people who really want to go to go, and robots don't want to, like, at the last minute go, I am not paying $950 for tickets that were 10 minutes ago $100. But
Yes.
The fun part is that Mark Hoppus, bass player and member of the band, he heard some of the frustration, so he went on and he tried to buy tickets. So here's this quote. I understand that the ticketing can be frustrating. I bought tickets for two of our shows myself just to see what the experience was like. I had the tickets yoinked, love that, yoinked from my cart, and the whole thing crashed out. Dynamic pricing. I'm not in charge of it. It's meant to discourage scalpers. We're trying to bring you the best possible show for the best price. This is a tour celebrating new music and the band getting back together. Thank you for your enthusiasm. I hope to see you at all the shows. And what a worthless fucking comment. He basically,
what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
Don't even comment.
Yeah. It's like, and what he does is basically like put all the onus like, hey, nothing I can do about it, except for they can. The band has to sign off on this. That is part of the article here. It says he conveniently leaves out the detail that the band has to actually agree to letting Ticketmaster and Live Nation turn on those systems when their fans go to buy tickets. Fun fact, Elsie, apparently they were inspired by getting an Uber. You know how Uber does like...
Of course they do.
Which actually makes sense when you're talking about Uber. It's like if you need an Uber at 1 in the afternoon on a Tuesday to the airport, it probably is not that big a deal to find a driver. But if you're trying to be one of 20,000 people to get an Uber out of a concert you got drunk at, the demand is higher, and I'm all for it, except for I'm sure Uber actually screws over the drivers at some point. But anyway, this is the same shit we've talked about so much. We talk about free market and all this stuff. Basically, a face value doesn't exist on tickets anymore.
But I love the fact that it actually shows the contractor goes into that. I need to see that article for more information. But that's what I'm saying. Like when anytime somebody just washes the bands, wash their hands of it, or just say like it's not me.
Yep.
It has to be. Somebody has to say it's okay. This is what you can do. So I'm glad that I wasn't aware of. So that is not something that they can control. If you want to say I want a set price, they can put it in the contract, or I want dynamic price. So fuck Blink-182 and anybody that does that. Seriously, anytime you see that, just know Bruce Springsteen, all these bands, whatever it is. If there is a way that just says you can get these tiers of pricing, then good. I'm glad to know that.
I have a different way to solve scalping. Go back to making it illegal. Man, it
was anybody actually arrested for it, though? I mean, probably six people.
You're talking about criminalization. I'm not talking about locking people up. I'm saying making it so Ticketmaster can't do this. You cannot put up a fucking brick and mortar goddamn Ticket King or StubHub outlet, and this is how you make your money. So you want to make a scalping, get rid of scalping, just make it so you can't do it. They convinced people that, like, well, why can't LC, who bought a ticket to a Guns N' Roses show for $50, sell it to me for $100 and make a little profit? What's wrong with that? But that's
what's wrong with that?
And if you want to legalize that and be very specific, like it has to be literally that specific, then I'm okay with it. But what they did was they opened the door to basically make we now have paperless ticketing. So you can't even sell your ticket to me without telling Ticketmaster you're fucking doing it. And it's just fucking bullshit. It is just screwing over the people. And I don't want to hear any of this bullshit about the artists have to find creative ways to make money. Yeah, they do. Unless you're Blink-182, you could sell every ticket in the place for $30 and pay for everything for the entire tour and go home with a big fat stack of cash. And not
That's
just
right.
them. I'm just, we're talking, I mean, say them because we're talking about them. But Let's stop acting like you're the fucking Glorious Sons. You know what I mean? You're not fucking some new band. You're not the lonely ones trying to get to the next show. You're given a flat guaranteed fee from a promoter before you fucking book a bus.
That's
right. That covers everything.
Yes. And you know what this is making? It's forcing me to go shop all kinds of different areas, get a Groupon ticket, blow up the QR code, find tiny print, find an old man that can't read it, and fucking sneak my way up to the front. That's what you're making me resort to.
Damn right. And that's just wrong to that blind bastard.
That's right. That guy should be retired. He should have a good retirement plan. He shouldn't even be at the concert. Why the fuck should he be there listening to shitty Sammy Hagar songs with a bunch of people?
And how the hell is he getting paid $25 an hour for doing that? He doesn't deserve that.
He doesn't deserve that.
He can't even read the screen.
He's an old fucking man. You see what you've done to the your elders, Ticketmaster? Fuck you. You are hurting the greatest generation that ever lived, and that's the boomers.
The story does lose a little steam with me because it ends with tour dates. Here's the shows you can go pay fucking dynamic pricing for.
It's a goddamn press release.
Oh god, yeah, it's like it's actually pretty critical. And then like, and here are the tour dates. Go see Blink 182 March May 4th, St. Paul Civic Center.
Oh, I'm exhausted, Baco. I've had two beers versus two coffees. You want to get out of here?
I am looking at three. I've had three beers, and only one that you would actually consider a beer. So it's basically, nice. in your view, I've had one beer and two glasses of water.
Okay. We're even then.
Yeah, hey, you know, it feels like it's been a while since we talked, you know, so it's good to catch up with you, and apologies for all the chippiness earlier, but I'm trying to come up with a really lame excuse to justify it. My cat looked at me and said, "Where's my food?" So
yeah, that's probably why.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
I heard Lego tonight too. By the way, shut that fucking dog up.
Oh, okay, okay.
I'm just kidding.
I don't think you are. Now that we've insulted each other. You want to get out of here?
Yeah, man. Rock is not dead.
It's dynamic.
God, yeah, I worked on a 6-minute roast with you once as far as co-writer, and it was one of the greatest
things we ever released.
One of the most miserable experiences of my life. So,
and the greatest one I've ever had.
This is it's the yin and
it's
yang,
perfect.
Yin and yang.
Yeah, my yin, your yang.
Yeah, there you go.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's fantasypoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. Fantasypoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.